Spare a thought for Boston sports fans. On April 25th, barely a month into the new baseball season, the Red Sox fired their manager and five other coaches. 6 days later, the Bruins were eliminated from the hockey playoffs. The night after that, the Celtics fell out of the NBA postseason after blowing a 3-1 series lead. It's almost enough to make this town want to cancel spring, except for one thing. The women's hockey team carved up the ice. The Boston Fleet posted a record-setting season, delighting sellout crowds before falling to Ottawa in a double overtime playoff on Sunday. The Fleet are no fluke. As Kendra Nordine Beato reports, venture capitalists are pouring money into women's sports. 8 new professional leagues have launched since 2020. Deloitte predicts the global women's sports industry will surpass $3 billion in revenue this year, an increase of 340% since 2022. Move over, lads. There's a new game in town. It's Tuesday, May 12th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Prime Minister Narendra Modi asked Indians to make economic sacrifices. As the blockage of the Strait of Hormuz continues, Mr. Modi called on citizens to spend less on gas and instead rely more on public transportation. India imports 85% of its crude oil, and more than 300 million households depend on imports of liquefied petroleum gas for cooking. To stem currency outflows, the Prime Minister also asked Indians to refrain from taking trips abroad and to stop buying gold. Other Asian countries are feeling the pinch. Bangladesh and Myanmar have instituted fuel rationing. The European Union slapped sanctions on 16 officials accused of helping Russia abduct Ukrainian children. An estimated 20,500 children have been deported or transferred since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Many were stripped of their Ukrainian identity, given Russian passports, or sent to military-style camps for indoctrination. Sanctions were also imposed on 7 of those centers. Foreign ministers from Canada, Ukraine, and the EU are gathered in Brussels to coordinate efforts to trace and return the children. Also, worldwide, more people than ever have access to electricity. Our World in Data reports that the number of people without electricity is half of what it was at the turn of the century, from 1.35 billion to 675 million. One area of the world that is lagging behind is sub-Saharan Africa. That doesn't mean no progress has been made. The share of people in sub-Saharan Africa with electricity has doubled, writes reporter Hannah Ritchie, who compiled World Bank data. But population growth has outpaced this expansion, meaning the number of people without electricity has still risen. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Russia is no longer making noteworthy battlefield gains. If anything, it's been Ukraine, aided by its technological prowess, taking back small pieces of territory. After a punishing winter, Ukraine is in a surprisingly encouraging place. Howard LaFranchi reports from Baluklia, Ukraine, for the Monitor. The business of women's professional sports is booming thanks in part to female venture capitalists investing for the long haul. Kendra Nordine Beato reports from Boston for the Monitor. 3-year degrees offer students tuition savings and faster career entry, but questions remain over whether accelerated, narrowly focused coursework is preferable to a well-rounded education, and how these programs could affect society. Cameron Pugh reports for the Monitor. The Philippines is heavily dependent on imported energy from the Middle East, but a remote indigenous community in the northern part of the country has spent years building its own energy system, uncoupled from imported fuel. Instead, it runs on water, gravity, and cooperation. Contributor Mark Saludes reports from Apayao Province, Philippines, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on power sharing as trust building in Hungary. One gauge of a society's level of interpersonal trust lies in how much the central government shares power with local authorities, courts, private citizen groups, and others. For the past 16 years in Hungary, such trust has been evaporating. An increasingly authoritarian leader, Viktor Orbán, had been centralizing power and creating us-versus-them polarization around often fabricated issues. On Saturday, all that changed with the swearing-in of a new prime minister, Peter Magyar. His broad-tent Tisza party won big in elections a month ago. In his inaugural speech, Mr. Magyar pledged not to rule over Hungary, but to serve it through reconciliation, inclusiveness, and democratic renewal. "We are going to remake the constitutional system so that such a concentration of power can never happen again," he declared. Mr. Magyar also apologized to people who had been marginalized and maligned by the state during Mr. Orbán's long tenure. In many countries where authoritarian rulers have recently been turned out, decentralization has become a prime goal, along with curbs on corruption that often accompany an aggregation of power. Hungary's agenda under a new leader provides a template for such reforms. Mr. Magyar promises to reinforce judicial independence and restore autonomy to local governments and universities. He has been adamant in ending government controls over Hungarian news media. He plans to limit a prime minister to 2 terms and retroactively apply that rule to Mr. Orbán. "I saw how power can destroy a man," said Mr. Magyar, who once served in his predecessor's government. Part of his distribution of power began during his speech to a large crowd in Budapest. He gave credit to the huge majority of voters who elected his party. "You have taught the country and the world that it is the most ordinary flesh and blood people that can defeat the most vicious tyranny," he said. He also proclaimed a repairing of societal trust. "What connects us will be stronger than what divides us. Hungary will be home for every Hungarian, and everyone can feel like they have a place in the Hungarian nation. Family, friends, and community will be able to speak to each other again." Even before the election, Mr. Magyar was sure of the example that his party would set by winning. At one campaign event, he noted the presence of journalists from a pro-Kremlin Russian newspaper. "I welcome the Russian propaganda media. Enjoy the freedom and the regime change." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we claim our identity as God's expression, we realize we're capable of more than we previously thought. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.